T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Soon to be joined by Jake Madison, host of Locked On Pelicans podcast. Let's get right to our mortgage financial talk and text lines. The Pelicans have hired Stan Van Gundy as their head coach. Tom leads off in Metairie. What's going on, Tom? You're on WWL.
Hey, yeah, I really like the hire just for a couple reasons, and I'll be brief. But for one thing, he's always gotten the most out of his talent. He's got a winning record. He's never had, in my opinion, championship talent on his team, but he's brought the best out of it. And number two, just the discipline part. I mean, I'm a huge Pels fan.
Yes.
And watching the games and watching the turnovers in the fourth quarter just killed me. I mean, it would just kill me to see that. And I think he'll bring some discipline to the team. We've got a solid point guard now, a young guy, and we've just got great young talent. I think he'll get the most out of it.
Well, Tom, before we go to Jake and Christian, I don't know if Jake would agree with this. It just seemed like, and I know it's a different type player this day and age, but Coach Gentry seems like he wanted to be the player's friend. Like, I'm a coach, but I'm going to be your friend instead of separating business like coach to player relationship. Because the bottom line, if a coach is hard on you, and you're winning, then they respect that. They might not necessarily like you and they don't want to go to have a beer with you or go to a barbecue or anything, but then they respect you if you win. Listen, you can be a hard ass, and the thing is, if you win, that is critical. I don't care what sport you're playing when you're dealing with coaches. Look, the Dome Patrol didn't even like Jim Mora. Listen, Pat Swilling, like Coach Mora sometimes, I thought they're about ready to fight. I mean, it's tough. But when you win, all of that, the bottom line is you got to win.
Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast, joining us now. Jake, do you like the hire of Stan Van Gundy?
Yeah, I think this is exactly what the New Orleans Pelicans needed, and this is kind of the type of head coach they zeroed in on from the beginning. Obviously, I think Tyronn Lue was the guy that they actually wanted, a guy who has won in the NBA, who has proven to have done it with top-level talent and figure out the best way to use those guys. But once he went to the Los Angeles Clippers, all signs kind of pointed towards Stan Van Gundy, and I think this is the type of hire that'll work. I don't know if this is necessarily the guy that can lead you to an NBA title, but you know what? You need to get in the playoffs and win consistently there first, and Stan Van Gundy can definitely do it. He's lauded all across the league as a teacher of the game, and for a team that has so many young players in Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, including other first-round picks from last year, Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Jackson Hayes, having a guy that can kind of mold them into top-level NBA players is going to be really important. And you've even heard current Pelican J.J. Redick, who played under Stan Van Gundy earlier in his career in Orlando, say he wouldn't be the player he is today, that kind of consummate professional, if it wasn't for Stan Van Gundy and his guidance early on. And just from that aspect, I think it's a good hire for New Orleans, let alone the fact that, you know, for his time in Miami and Orlando, his teams never finished worse than 13th out of 30 teams defensively, so they were in the top half of the league every single year. He preaches defense, gets players to buy in on that side of the ball, and then coaches them up to be able to play well on that side. And when you look at him and what he's talked about over the past couple of seasons now, being removed from being a head coach, kind of looking around the league and seeing what's worked, he's got already a lot of ideas, I think, on how to use these players effectively. And I like that coach that's going to come in not with a defined style of play. They're not going to play fast or play in the half court. He's going to adapt the offense to whatever suits these players best. And I think that's the type of coach that the Pelicans needed right now.
Jake, what's his philosophy offensively and defensively? What kind of brand of basketball?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think there isn't necessarily one way to kind – one box you necessarily want to put him into. I think he's going to look at these players and go, okay, we can play fast with this and it'll work, or maybe we need to slow things down and kind of showcase a different skill set. I think that's what's going to make him really work as a head coach. It's not just you have to fit into my system, and if you don't, we're all going to fail here. It's, okay, we're going to adapt to the players that we have, and we're going to bring out the best in everybody. But when you look at his tenure in Orlando in particular, I think that's the real important time. Back in 07, 08, before you got the, you know, the Super Miami Heat, before you got the Golden State Warriors who were bombing threes away, he played that style of basketball. He was kind of at the forefront of the space and pace three-point shooting league that we're in right now. He put Dwight Howard underneath the rim and put four shooters around him, let them bomb away from deep, and let Dwight Howard do work with a ton of space down below the basket. That style of play could really work around Zion Williamson. The fact that he's kind of cutting edge, I think, and has pushed the envelope in terms of offense, I think is going to suit him well here in New Orleans. Defensively, it's not so much a scheme, it's just coaching guys to fight through screens, imparting the basketball knowledge that he has onto them and kind of teaching them what they need to do. And with the young and somewhat impressionable roster, I think that he will find success here with that.
Now, Jake, obviously when you look at it, and he has all the experience and connections, when you're putting a staff together, have you delved into that and looked what could come about? Because that's kind of the unsung heroes, you know, that supporting cast as the staff and dealing with the players.
Yeah, you know, I think you'll see some turnover on that, and it remains to be seen exactly what that will be. We've heard that Chris Finch might have been going to Indiana as their head coach. That didn't work out with them hiring someone else yesterday. So he still might be on the move, whether it's back to Toronto or even potentially to the Indiana Pacers as an associate head coach. Jeff Bizdalek was brought in last year to run the defense. It remains to be seen if he will come back. I think they'll try and keep, though, some of the staff under Alvin Gentry for sure. Fred Vinson, the shooting coach, essentially, who has kind of changed the fortunes of Brandon Ingram, of Lonzo Ball, who did great work with Anthony Davis, too. I'm sure they're going to try and retain. They like Jamal McMillan a lot, who left for a year with the Phoenix Suns before coming back and does a lot of work with the guards and some of the wings as well. But look for them to bring in some big names. This is an organization that's spending some money now, whether it's on the salary of Stan Van Gundy, on the salary of David Griffin, or renovating the facility and sinking millions upon millions of dollars into that, they will pay to bring in top name head associate head coaches. So keep an eye out for how they fill out the staff. But you're right, those are some of the most important people you can bring in. And I would not be shocked if the Pelicans try and assemble somewhat of an all-star assistant coaching staff for Stan Van Gundy.
Now, Jake, I'm going to read this text 92 to 73 because different parts of the country. You know, we want that instant fix. Are you a champion or are you not a champion? So this from 92-73 says, so we're just supposed to be happy with getting to the playoffs? Come on, man. Well, you got to get to the playoffs before you can get to the championship. And then if you build upon that, that's why you can't put the cart before the horse. You're not going to be an immediate champion considering when you just look at the strength of the Western Conference, everything. Come on, I would like great entertaining basketball. If you could tell me, you know, kind of like with Chris Paul, now we would have wanted to win a championship, but look how relevant. Well, when you're in the playoffs, at least three years in a row. So that's why I think some fans are realistic, unrealistic. They think like, oh, we got Zion, we're going to win the championship now, right now. Come on, you have to realize the whole process when it comes about.
It's all a process, and it does take some time. Teams usually don't make that leap overnight into being a title contender or winning the NBA championship. Even look at the Miami Heat. This is Bam Adebayo's fourth year in the league. They have a couple of other young guys too, but they also lost the finals. They're not there just yet. And it takes some time to kind of build up to that. And the Pelicans were in year zero, year one this past season. They're not nearly where they want to be. And getting into the playoffs is the first step of that. And getting these young guys some experience in the postseason is a big part of that step. Once you realize you're kind of knocking on the door of being a title contender or an NBA Finals, that's when you can decide if Stan Van Gundy's the coach or not for your team who could take you all the way. The Los Angeles Clippers kind of did that with Doc Rivers, right, and making a change there.
Right.
You still got to get there in the first place. You can't knock on that door if you're nowhere close to the door, and Stan Van Gundy's at least a guy who can kind of get you in the general vicinity of that. If the Pelicans made a conference finals, even if they got swept 4-0, this city would celebrate. Let's take that as the next step and the next set of expectations rather than pushing towards being a championship contender right away.
Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast, the hire of Stan Van Gundy for the Pelicans. What is that going to do? What should it do for Zion Williamson and his growth?
It's definitely going to help him on the defensive side of the ball. And that's where he really, really struggled. I actually dove into some of the film and numbers on him last night for today's episode of Locked On Pelicans before the emergency one about Stan Van Gundy here. And he was really, really bad defensively. There's just no other way to put it. Teams were targeting him on defense. And at the rim, his defense was so bad that players were shooting about 20% more against him at the rim versus other players on the Pelicans. That's how bad it was. And that's not an area you want to give up a high field goal percentage. I think it's just going to help them and help the team on the defensive side of the ball. And if you can end some possessions more so than they did, I think this team has enough firepower on offense to make a pretty significant leap in terms of wins and playoff contention for next season. I think you're also going to see these players buy in a little bit more and have some more accountability. Bobby, I heard you mentioning that you felt that Alvin Gentry was maybe too much of the player's friends during this past season. I don't know if it's necessarily that, but I can tell you that the players just maybe didn't have the amount of respect for Alvin Gentry that you want the players to have towards a head coach. I don't think that kind of attitude is going to fly with Stan Van Gundy, who's a big, boisterous personality and probably isn't scared to get into their faces in a way that Alvin Gentry was before. And I think that will create some accountability for this team that desperately needs something like that. And that alone is going to kind of help with their maturity and their growth, too. So I think you're going to see a much more mature team out there on the court that just does some of the very simple things better and doesn't look like they're going to give up if things are going against them.
Now, Jake, with that being said, was it conditioning when you, you know, we're talking about Zion? Because I look at Duke, and that was something, I guess, steals and rebounds, where he was almost like a liability on the defensive end. Is that because of conditioning, or what is your perspective on that?
It's a couple of things. So part of it's that. I certainly also think that, you know, he was just an 18, 19-year-old, and they're not supposed to be good on the defensive side of the ball right away. It takes most NBA players 2, 3, 4 seasons to really start being a positive defender. It's not an easy thing to pick up, particularly when you've only played 1 year of college. And more or less, you're going from high school to playing against guys who've been in the league for 10, 15 years or so, that it can be tough to be a defender. There's a lot to take in. There's a lot to process on the defensive side of the ball on any given second, any given play. And he just wasn't ready for it. And now having, you know, a little bit more of an offseason under his belt, having some real NBA action, as opposed to playing just 18 games in the regular season, I think certainly is going to help him with all of that. So we'll see him improve on that side of the ball merely by just getting some more reps out there. I got asked the other day by someone, though, what does he need to improve the most on? Is it his jump shot? Is it his handle? Or is it anything like that? It's not any of that. It's kind of what you mentioned. The conditioning side of things for him is where he really needs to improve if he wants to be a better player. We don't know what happened when he left the NBA's bubble for about 10 days or so, but when he came back, he didn't look like the same player that had gone in there.
He was eating his mom's pork chops. And so,
it could have been. And look, if I were there, I'd have been probably doing the same thing. I bet they're delicious. But as an NBA player, you know, maybe it's you need to hire a personal chef. You need to make sure you have the right regimen. You need to kind of get all of that base level stuff straight, settled, done with, that it's not going to be a concern anymore, because you're not going to be able to take steps forward and grow as a player if those basic habits, I think, are out of whack a little bit. So all of that needs to get squared away, and that, I think, will just make him a much better NBA player than we saw last season. And in the limited minutes that he played, and he played under 600 minutes, not a lot by NBA standards, he looked really good. So if he can improve on that just slightly, there's going to be a monster here in New Orleans for years to come.
Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for the time.
Well, Jake, one more thing before I let you go. Are you happy for AD winning a championship? Are you bitter with the Lakers? I think LeBron knew what he was doing getting AD on board.
Look, LeBron knew exactly what he was doing and pulled all the strings very masterfully there in Los Angeles. I'm kind of ambivalent. I certainly wasn't rooting for the Lakers in the NBA Finals. Look, I'm from Los Angeles, lived there for 18 years till I came to college down here in New Orleans. My family was entirely rooting for the Lakers. I wasn't rooting for the Lakers, probably because of the Anthony Davis reasons, but it's kind of the end of the day, I don't care. He did what's best for him. He got his title. His kind of tactics worked, as unfortunate as that is. But it's kind of in the past, you know. It's like if you break up with someone, you don't want to dwell on them and you want to focus on your new relationship instead. Otherwise, you're probably entering some unhealthy territory, and it's not going to make your new relationship as meaningful, and that's kind of the way I've looked at it, to be honest.
Jake, once again, thanks, man.
All right, Jake.
Of course. Thanks for having
Jake.
Me on, you guys.
Thanks, man.
All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.